Okay, we're continuing in the fourth section in the book of Shabbos Malkus over on page Kuf Ayin Hey, the second paragraph. Continuing on the idea of Malchus and what's the definition of an Adam, of a person. We talk about the idea that Malchus, kingship, relies heavily upon the fact that the constituents within the realm have similarities to the king himself. Just like we said, a person could not be a king over animals. He would build hospitals for them and they wouldn't even know how to take advantage of it. So the constituents of a king, in order for there to be a king and constituent relationship, there has to be some common area between them. Of course, the king will be greater, but there has to be commonality between them. Just like we said that the lion is the king of the beasts and the eagle is the king of the birds. So there's got to be commonality within that. While a human being could not be the king of the beasts, because the beasts would not appreciate what the human being would do. So that's a critical aspect. We also talked about the idea of the mirror, and a mirror can only reflect inanimate objects and not live objects. And now when we talk about people, people have to have a similarity to God. If God is our king, then people have to have a similarity to God. And our similarity is we have free choice. We can express ourselves with free choice. So we're on Kuf Ayin Hey, the second paragraph that continues this aspect. V'chein be'inyan malchus shamayim. Similarly, when we deal with the kingdom of heaven, God is the king of the world. So what makes God the king? Masha Kodesh Baruch Hu Nikra Melech HaOlam, that which makes Hashem king of the world, Hu Rak Mipnei Shebemerkaz HaBriya Nimtza HaAdam, is only because in the center of the universe, the center of creation, is man. Asher Alav Nemar, that for man it is said, Ki Betzelem Elokim Asas Adam, Hashem made man in the image of God. Hainu, meaning to say, Sheyes Eza Dimyon Lelokim, there is a certain similitude, or simple English, similarity, between man and God. Vayin Shom Barashi, and look at what Rashi explains, and he says, Shu Inyan HaSeichel, it's the concept of having Seichel, intellect, HaMiyached Es HaAdam Mishar HaBrios, that makes man unique between all of creatures. Inyan Eloki, this is a godly aspect. Intellect is a godly aspect. No other creature has intellect. Other creatures may have built in their nature survival skills, but that's not intellect, to understand things in a deep way. Only human beings have that. And that is what makes a human being have some similarity to God, because God only operates with an amazing intellect. Now, what this means then, if you look interestingly, when did God become king of the world? On day one, he created the world. Is he the king? No. Something to be king over. Even by God, day two, three, four, five, four. There's not even animals yet. Day five, there's animals. He's still not king of the world. He was only king of the world when he created the first human being. Right? That's why Rosh Hashanah is not the commemorating the first day of creation, but Rosh Hashanah commemorates the sixth day of creation. How do we know that this is when God became the king? If you look at the Psalm of the Day that the Levites sang every day, the Psalm of the Day for day six for Friday is Hashem Moloch, Hashem rules. Hashem only became a king when he created mankind. That's when he became a king, because nothing else would appreciate God's kingship at all, and also nothing else had the free will to accept God as their king. Remember, we said there's a melech and a moshel. A melech is someone that the constituents willingly give up of their freedom to the king, while a moshel rules without free choice. So God became the king, as it were, when mankind was capable of to willingly accept God's realm. And that was the day the first man was created, which was Rosh Hashanah. Yes, Moshe?
We define the kingdom as the characters of giving.
We defined what?
Malchut, we said.
Well, it has to be able to give, yeah.
When God creating the world, he kind of giving from his power to the world. This is how I understand the Melech of God, the Malchut of God.
That's one quality, but it doesn't define him as a king unless he has a constituency that will appreciate it.
Even if they don't, the fact that
he won't be the king.
He giving to the world.
Doesn't matter. That king ain't melech b'lo'am. There's no such thing as a king unless there's a constituency. You can't be a king if there's no constituency. It's not possible. There's no one to rule over. Right? And you can't be a king over flowers. Because the flowers don't have any choice. Doesn't matter. There's not the definition of a king means that you rule over beings that willingly give you the rule. That you want to call you're in charge of flowers, you can use any term you like, but you can't use the term melech. You can't use the term melech because melech doesn't apply to that. You live alone in your house and you're not the king of your house. Because you're not ruling over anything. You got a wife and kids, now go try to be the king of your house. Good luck. Okay? But theoretically, you could be the king of your house. Right? There's a lot of other words, but you're not a king. A melech, you're not. That's why chatan dome lemelech. A chasan is... Now you understand the deeper pshat why a chasan, a groom, is considered a king. Why? Because until that point, he couldn't rule over anybody. He can rule over his wife if he's a proper melech and he treats her like a malka, treats her like a queen. Listen, a king has a queen. He's the king over the queen too, right? There's no question about it. She willingly submits to his rule because she knows he only has her best interest in mind. Gotta remember. Remember, the good old benevolent dictator. That's what a king is, right? The wife now submits to this one man, and her life is now going to be taken care of by this man. Right? Till now, a single guy, you don't rule over nothing. Right? All these single people going around, they have no rulership. They have a dog. They don't rule over a dog. This is just an animal. Can't rule. They have three dogs. Bigger dog owner, but not a king. You want to be a king, then you've got to get married. Because once you get married, then there's a human being that is giving up rights. She's giving up her rights to be with anyone else in this world only and to be taken care of by you. You see, then you are considered chasan dom melamelech. Now you're a king because now there's a woman who is willing to give up her rights and you better be careful how you are the king because she can rebel. And you can lose the realm if you're not careful. And then you have children, the realm is bigger. And you're giving more. And now you have a miniature malchut. You have a miniature kingdom.
What's the difference between Malka and
Malka? Malka, she rules together with the husband. But they work together as a team. They work together as a team. But still, he rules over her. Clearly, the husband rules over her. Remember, a king. Got to remember all the... Melech leis lei migar mei klum. The king has nothing, right? The wife has the check, gets the plastic. She spends, he pays. He has nothing at the end.
Oh, man.
Right? He has nothing at the end. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. She has the dresses. She has this. She buys the food. She cooks for Shabbos. She invites guests and this and that. And what does he have? He pays the bill. The other day, you pay the bills. You got nothing. Okay, so he's the big king. What's the king have at the end? Okay, so he'll make some important decisions. He'll say, okay, I think the child should go to this school, should go to that school. You know, he makes decisions. All right, but at the end of the day, he doesn't have a nickel at the end, right? It's all for the kids. So he has nothing. He does all that. He gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. And what does he have at the end? Nothing. Right? That's what a king is. That's what chasan dom lemelech. Got to remember that next time. It's a Sheva Brach. It's good for it. Yeah. I just thought of it. Okay, anyway. So now we come to a critical point. Now that the creation of the human being makes God the king, So now we come to the unpolitically correct line. Avala emes lamito. But the real truth is, Rak Yisrael nikroim Adam. Only the Jewish people have the distinct title of Adam, of a human being. Adam. Kumo she'amar Chazal, as our rabbis tell us, Atem kruim Adam. You, the Jews, are called Adam. Vein akum kruim Adam. And non-Jews are not called Adam. Why? The true Tzelem Elohim. There's different levels of Tzelem Elohim, image of God. The true image of God only is maintained through the Jewish people. That's why God is specifically called the King of the Jews. Shirak Yisrael, because only a Yisrael, a Jew, which is defined by Yoshar Kale, straight onto God. Sheishlam and Yonim Adom Leborim, they have concepts that are very similar to the Creator. Ukidichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Kidoshim Tiyu, you should be a holy people, the Jewish people. Why? Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem, because I am holy. Ukhsiv, and it says, Valachta Bidrachav, you have to go in His ways. That's a mitzvah of the Torah that only Jews have to do. Rak Al Yadam, only through the Jews. Only through the Jews, as it were, can God's powers move from potential to reality. So only the Jewish people are considered human beings, are considered Adam. Because remember, Adam comes from the word Adama, the earth, which also those letters means Adame, I can make myself similar to God. So you have the free will choice to act like a piece of dirt or to act like God. And that's what the Jews ultimately, they have all those characteristics that make them as such, as was evidenced through their forefathers and through them when they used their free will choice to accept have a relationship with Hashem. So those are the ones that, because we have those qualities, Adam, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov developed those qualities. Those midos, those are the midos that are godly qualities. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes were cultivated, worked through the patriarchs, the seven attributes of the seven shepherds of the Jewish people. You have no non-Jew who ever did such a thing, to work through it in such a way. And that's why we are called humanity. So only when Jews exist is there a kingdom on this earth. And only when the Jews willingly accept God's rule is there a kingdom on earth. And when the Jews fail to do that as a nation, we reject the Malchus Shemayim. That puts the Shekhinah, that puts God's divine presence in Golus, is in exile, and therefore we go into exile as well. Yes?
We just said in the beginning that Hashem was not king until He created Adam on the sixth day. At that time, He became king of the human beings.
That's right. That's right. The king, the kingdom. Okay, so the kingdom did not last very long. The kingdom lasted a couple hours till Adam sinned when he ate from the tree of knowledge, and Adam was removed from Gan Eden. God was no longer Melech, and he waited now 2,448 years to become the king. He was dethroned. He was not the king. He had no nation. He had no constituency.
Even though He created Adam in His image.
And Adam rebelled. Okay, you're the king. You're the king. You give a supreme command: do not eat from the forbidden fruit. And all of humanity, every single human being, which consisted of Adam and Chava, the entire world rebelled against you. It was a rebellion. And when you confronted him, he said, it wasn't my fault. So they still rebelled. So God says, you're such a rebel, get the heck out of here. Get out of here. There's no, you know, you get out of the palace and get out of the kingdom. Get out of Gan Eden. That's it. There's no king. The kingdom is finished. And the kingdom was finished for 2,448 years. There was no kingdom until the Jewish people at Sinai said, we want you to be the king. That's why Shavuot is a very important day. The kingship returned. That's what it was. Pretty bad state of the world. God was not the king. He was not the king. Yeah. What? He's for sure not king. He's for sure not king. If we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, how could he be the king? There's no palace. The biggest proof the king is in here, ain't no palace. There ain't no palace. How could there be a king without a palace? Until Mashiach comes. Hashem will be the king again. He'll be once again coronated to the extent where he can. Now, there are those of us, listen, every Rosh Hashanah we coronate Hashem the king. Let's understand. Right, each of us individually coronate him as the king, but the king's, let's say, he's in exile. You know, like when the king gets thrown out of the country, right? There's still people who believe in him, right? He's still the king, he still can do things. Chas v'shalom, he still is all powerful. Let's not forget what's going on over here. He's still judging the world, but maybe more as a Moshel and not as a Melech. The realm is God's, but he rules over the nations. The nations haven't accepted us, and unfortunately many Jews haven't accepted him. He still rules. Don't think he doesn't decide what happens on Rosh Hashanah. He certainly does. Who will live, who will die? But guess what? People aren't willingly accepting his realm. So he's not a Mel. He's a Moshe. A Moshe is a different story. He's a Moshe. He rules. For sure he rules. Is he a Melech? So there are some Jews, there's a few Jews who take him on as the king, a couple thousand Jews, maybe 100,000 Jews, you know, compared to how many people are in the world. Okay, so what happens to any king? We're only a small fraction accept him as the king. He can't rule the way he's meant to rule. That's pretty sad, right? That's Golos. Yeah. Still pretty bad. That's why this world is so bad. That's why there's so much suffering. That's why people are dying. All these things are happening because we don't allow him to be the king. If we would all say, come on back, fix things up for us, he'd be glad to. We're just not letting him come back into this world. It's a very sad state of affairs. Okay, so only the Jewish people, but only need the Jews. That's all you need. Don't blame it on the French. And the Iranians, right? It's us who are not letting him be the king. If the Jews would re-coronate God in totality, if there'd be, obviously you'd need at least a majority of Jews to do that. If a majority of the Jews coronated Hashem, then things would be a lot better. Would obviously be a lot better. Right? Now, base. Okay, now that we have that, now we understand the concept of what it really means for him to be, and therefore the Jews can get back to the analogy with the mirror. The Jew can reflect godliness more than in an inanimate way. The mirror just shows you an inanimate picture. The Jew lives, living by the Torah. So he lives like the king, acts like the king, and that reflects the king. So we can all do that still. Base. Now let's tie this into Shabbos. Now that we're talking about the concept of the Holy Shabbos. Hey, yo, since. As we've learned in this book extensively, that the main essence of Shabbos is the revelation of the kingdom in heaven and the bringing down the divine presence to dwell in this world. That's what Shabbos is. And this gives its expression in reality through the Jewish people who keep the Shabbos. Right? Nimtza shikur maaseh Shabbos muchrachim shiyodei asiyas b'nei Yisrael maisa melech atzmo. It comes out that the main activities of Shabbos have to be through what the Jewish people do, and it comes out, they're doing the actions of a king. They're doing kingly actions by keeping Shabbos, because that's what brings the Malchus here. Shegilui Malchus Urakha, they avdei Hamelech Hamizdamim L'Malkam. The revelation of the kingdom can only be through the servants of the king who are similar to the king, as we said on Friday. An eved lemelech melech, a servant of a king is like a king because he has to have some understanding of kingship to serve a king. So therefore, the kingship is revealed through us who are the servants of the king who are doing godly activities. And through our keeping the Shabbos, can we see the essence of the king and the honor of his majesty. When we keep Shabbos, the kingship is revealed. Right, that, now that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, is a taste of the world to come. And in the world to come, God will be the king. So you're going to sense Hashem's kingship on Shabbos more so than any other day of the week. And on Friday afternoon as well, as you're preparing for Shabbos. Once you're preparing, you're preparing to accept him as your king. Right? So Friday already is bringing it on. And therefore, what was the godly thing that happened on the seventh day of creation? Hashem rested. That was the godly thing to do, as we explained way earlier in the book, that only the real owner can stop doing what he's doing whenever he wants to. The real owner, the real king, can stop whenever he wants. He doesn't have to do anything. He's not controlled by what he creates, but rather he controls what he creates, and he can stop whenever he wants, and that's what his stopping showed. Kumoshin Zbar, as we already explained, in Hamanukah, the concept of rest. That as it were, Hashem stopped the creation of the world, he returned to his holy area above, beyond the realms of this world. So if the Jews do the very same thing that God did, and we stop working in this world, and we now retreat into the boundaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His holiness, so Tiskal Yidam Malchus Shemayim V'Asher Shechina Ba'Olam will reveal through what we do of keeping Shabbos the heavenly realm, and the divine presence rests again in this world. So every Shabbos is a miniature coronation of the king. Right? And that's why after Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos, when we recabble Shabbos, what do? Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos. But the second paragraph is Hashem Malach. Hashem rules. Why need the second paragraph? First paragraph's enough. No, now that I have the Shabbos, now I can go back into day five. Day six. Original day six was when Hashem was supposed to be the king. Right? A man messed up. So now I can go back to Hashem Malach. I can go. The result of Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos is the goal, is the second paragraph. Kabbalah Shabbos isn't with one paragraph. You have to say both paragraphs. Hashem Malach. Now Hashem is the ruler. Why? Because I'm keeping the Shabbos. I brought the Shabbos into my life at this point. I was Makabal the Shabbos. I was coronating the king. That's what Kabbalah Shabbos is, the real essence, is coronating the king. So when you coronate the king, now it's Hashem Malach. Now Hashem rules, at least in this home, in this shul. He is the ruler. Was there a question before? No? Okay. All right, turning the page. Kufayin Vav, now section Beis of this chapter. All right, makes sense? His bar. So now it's explained. Shabiktesha tichul hamalchus besocham. In order for the kingdom to tachol, to have a reality, to be affected amongst the people, to be realized. Sarach shi'olahem in yonim ishutafim malchum. There has to be concepts that are common with their king. Right? For the people have to have commonality with the king, mishutaf, partnership. So then they'll be able to receive and absorb those levels of the king, and to bring them out to reality. And it will be considered that the king with all his attributes will be found amongst the king, the realm. That's what you'll find. When we coronate him as the king, there has to be aspects within ourselves, and we'll see those activities that reflect the king. Okay, so now you see within the Jews that reflection of the king. Now he's going to get to a very fine point. We have to now stay and focus very well on the main, deep, important point. We don't make a mistake and think that the intention is as follows. So don't think it this way, but it's going to be the next way. Okay, this is what you shouldn't think. It's not merely that the kingdom is maintained when there are people who have the attributes like the attributes of the king. That's not enough. Hainu mean to say, Shem Asom Yechachmu V'Yicholu B'Midos HaMelech Ashikurit HaMelech, that they are smart enough that they have the qualities of the king up to the point where they're called the students of the king. That's not enough. Ela Kavana Sha'al Yedeshu Shayochim Shiyichol B'Hem V'Yisbegu El Tocha Malas HaMelech. They have to be Shayach. They have to be, what's the English word for Shayach?
Relevant.
What? Applicable. They have to be applicable for them. That it could connect to them these attributes, and that they could soak them up. To sponge them up. El tochem inside of them. Malas hamelch, the attributes of the king. Al yedei came to the point you have kimare v'chalon liros darkem kvod hamelchatzol. They have to be like a window and a mirror, to be able to see in their ways the honor of the king. Right? They have to be able to be totally applicable to this. Not just smart enough. It's not a question of just being smart enough to understand what it is. They themselves have to be applicable, that soaks into them. And that they become a mirror of this. But we come back to that same point. But they themselves have nothing for themselves. You'll see, when he gives the example, it'll be very clear. Sha'adra, the opposite. Kumoshi is barla el, barichas binyan malchus, as we explained earlier with the concept of malchus. Shekol givunu maile shihuba hem mitzad atzmam choytzesim l'shichilu bahem minas hamelch. If the constituents have any color, any level, if they have anything, any attribute, independent attribute in and of themselves that is not connected to the kingship, that becomes a barrier to becoming the constituents of the realm. You see, what he's saying is it's not good enough. See, this from the paragraph earlier, it wasn't clear what he's saying. It's not just enough that I know about God's qualities, and even I could do God's qualities, right? But they have to be able to soak it all in, and it should be completely translucent through them. That can only happen if we have no qualities that are independent of God. That's what he's saying. In other words, if I have anything that I hold of myself, this is mine. This is me. And has nothing to do with God. If there's anything in me that is not relevant to godliness, that's a barrier. I have to be a total tabula rasa. I have to be a totally clean slate. There's nothing here. It's nothing. Nothing. Nothing of Yossi has to be here. Nothing. So then everything of God can come in. Then I'm a perfect mirror image of that. And then I'm able, everything that he has will soak totally into me, and I will totally act that way. Let's keep reading, right? But if I have any independent, anything of myself, let me finish first. I got to get the idea across. Anything of me that's not of God, so then it ain't going to all reflect. It's going to be a problem. In a way that the goal of the attributes of the king will not be so easily recognizable within you. Elaharba Yosim is there, but more than that. Shemelech Asma Rov Hedoro Yira Darkum, but more than that, the king, through his great glory, will show them the way. Umalosu Shala Uma Hiloma Shalom the Darkamach. The attributes of the people isn't merely what they learn from the king. El Mashahim Beis Kibul Amalchas Atzma Lishka Mesecha. They are receptacle to accept all the kingdom for it to dwell in them. And after they absorbed all those attributes, Yisharim, they remain Malas HaMelech, levels of the king. And the people will now become that perfect mirror that will totally reflect in their ways the ways of the king. There can't, if you take a mirror and color it black or orange or green, it can't reflect. It can't reflect. You can't have a person who has my own qualities. What you can do, and that's very bad, you have your own independence, and now you take God's qualities and you color them to shape your characteristics. So you've distorted the godly qualities. Godly qualities can be distorted in the worst way, as we've discussed many times. Right? If you have a quality that you want, you only think of yourself, and now you learn Torah, and you learn about kindness, you'll take the kindness and distort it. You'll only be kind when it's good for you. And then you're going to operate in a way that doesn't even look like the kingly quality of kindness. So you got to get rid of any of those barriers that exist there. Now he's going to give an example, then when I finish the example, then I'll take the questions. The example will make it so clear, it hopefully will take away some questions. If not, then we'll discuss it. V'navi dugma l'davar narizal, I'll give you an example of this awesome thing with a story that you all know. Misuper b'midrash. So tell us in the midrash the following story. Ma'aseh Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, a story with a very holy rabbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. Shalakach chamor mi'ishmael yechad, he bought a donkey from an Arab. He needed a donkey, he bought a donkey. So the students went and they bought the donkey for him and they bring the donkey back. Then look what happens on the way back. They just noticed Matsubo Evan Achas Tovet Luyolo Betzavaro. They found there was a diamond hanging from the neck of the donkey. Obviously, the Arab didn't know there was a diamond there, and the students didn't know till they got back. Amr Loz, the students said to the Rebbe, Beirachta Hashem, Birchas Hashem Hitashir, they quote a pasuk, the blessings of Hashem make one rich. Look what happened, Hashem loves you. You lucked out. You got all that money. The Arab doesn't know any better. And in the Torah, we know a mistake, a tos, akum, mistake of an akum, you're not obliged halachically to return. You're not allowed to steal from a non-Jew, but if they make a mistake, you are not obliged to tell them they made a mistake. So Rabbi, Hashem obviously has favored you to make you a rich man. Rishim ben Shetach answered, Chamor lakachti, I only bought a donkey. Evan tovel lakachti, I did not buy a gem, and I didn't certainly pay the price for it. So you have to return it to the Arab. Vechzirulos the Yishmaeli, returned it to the Yishmaeli. So now, Kara lavos Yishmael. So what did the Arab say when he saw this tremendous act? He said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shimon ben Shetach. Blessed is the God of Shimon ben Shetach. And what did he not say? Blessed is Shimon ben Shetach. Blessed is the God of Shimon ben Shetach. So now, the question that is asked. So why did the Arab bless Shimon ben Shetach's God and not bless Shimon ben Shetach, who's the one who returned it himself? Give Shimon ben Shetach a little credit. He should bless Shimon ben Shetach, right? L-O-M-S, but the truth is, this brings the point across. Adoneinu Shimon ben Shetach, our master Shimon ben Shetach. Even if he would purify his characteristics to the ultimate purification possible, he could never come to this level of chassidus, unbelievable tzidkus. Even if we would purify ourselves, we'd never come to his levels, right? Elashit tzidkus amuflegesh al Shimon Shetach. But the righteousness, the unbelievable righteousness of Shimon ben Shetach caused that God could rest inside of him and be activated with inside of him. Bibichin is almost similar to the concept by Moshe Rabbeinu where we say, Shechina medaberes mitoch grono. The awesome presence of Hashem spoke through Moshe's throat. Comes out, he purified himself so much that what happened to him was God acting within himself. Because what is this? It's the will of God. What's the will of God? It's God's actions. Shimon Shetach is so machnia, he's so he's so surrendering himself that he's totally purified himself, he only does one thing, the will of the king. So what do you see from him? You only see the will of the king. And the will of the king is impeccable honesty. This action was not Shim ben Shetach's action. It was the action of God that resided inside of Shim ben Shetach. V'derech Shim ben Shetach ro es Hashem Yisbarach. And through the path of Shim ben Shetach, you saw God. V'al kein berech, and therefore the Arab blessed and said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shim ben Shetach, blessed is the God of Shim ben Shetach. In other words, that goy, that Arab, was seeing godliness inside a human being. Wasn't seeing a human being. This is, no human being does this. A goy doesn't do this. It's unheard of for a goy to return something like that. Right? It's unheard of. Right? But you see a Jew, like, there's no way. The guy would never know. Would never know. Right? See, so that only can be a godly, the godliness operating within him is making that happen. But Shimon Shetach leisle migar merklum has nothing for himself. There's nothing there. It's totally God. Shimon Shetach just refined himself to such a point where he totally is submissive to God's will. So all you see operating is God's will, not even a taint of Shimon Shetach there. And that's the concept where the constituents. It's not just I know God's attributes. It's not just even I do some of God's attributes, but I totally reflect only God's attributes. That's the servant of Hashem. That's the level we have to reach. V'zumamish ha'gdoro umar shel malchus. And this is literally the definition and the essence of royalty. Shederach ha'am yiru midoser shel melech atzmo. That through the way of the people, you see the attributes of the king himself. Only then is the kingdom in its beauty and in its glory. And this is the understanding that we understand, that we say about great tzaddikim, that the Shechina literally rests upon them. Okay, now a question? And answered. Yes? Okay? Any other questions? Yes? Okay, so you're asking a great question. Shows a really good question. Let me reword your question. I'll say your question better. Why isn't the halacha that you should return it? Right? That's the better way of asking the question. Right? It's the same way, but it's stronger even. Right? So here's a very important idea, Shelley. God cannot mandate a person to be a tzaddik. Can't legislate tzidkus. Can't legislate to be a tzaddik. You can legislate to be a mensch, but you can't legislate a person to be a tzaddik. Okay? Certain levels, you can't legislate. We can legislate not to steal. We can legislate you're not allowed to cheat a non-Jew. Certain levels we can legislate, which will be, but tzidkus, you can't legislate it. It's beyond the regular person's ability. We have to legislate them being regular people who are, you know, good enough, right? We're going to start punishing people for this, right? In other words, and that's the idea of kedoshim. We don't legislate kedusha either. Certain levels we just can't let. You can't legislate how you should think. Can we legislate thinking? Right? We can legislate actions. This is way beyond a simple action. There's got to be a lot of thinking involved in here. So there's a baseline of what we can legislate, that you shouldn't be a terrible corrupt person. Right? But to be a holy person, we can't legislate holiness. Holiness is something that God can say, I would very much want you to be holy. and you know that's what I want, and if you really want to reach the goal, the ultimate goal, this is what you should do. But we are human beings. And to the fact that we're human beings, you can't command things that are way beyond what people can think they can do. But I could say, but if you do this, boy, oh boy, you're a sweetheart.
So it would be appropriate for Professor Rob to say, look, the halakha is this, but the right thing to do is...
That's right. Exactly. Okay, exactly. Shkoyach.
Thank you, Yish Hashem.
That's Kiddush Hashem. That's the idea of Kiddush Hashem. Exactly.